America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And what a great day it is after weeks and weeks and reports and reports and up and down and in and out. It looks like we are going to get some notable improvement in the infrastructure in the United States, helping water pipes and electrical grids and highways and bridges. And it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing, in fact. Why did it take them so long? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what this means. It also means great success for Rob Portman, the departing Republican senator. And I wish he wouldn't depart because he's one of the best men in the Senate. I have best persons in the Senate. Rob Portman announced it today. Joe Biden confirmed it. It looks like it's a done deal. And that's a good thing. And one of the reasons it's a done deal, and one of the reasons this happened, and one of the reasons I think they were able to put this need to actually improve infrastructure into some perspective is because, as Dr. Johnson said a long time ago, the gallows doth wonderfully concentrate the mind. When you're looking at death, you get serious about things. And that's a basic item of human nature. I just read this number, which is just staggering. This Delta variant for COVID-19 is now claimed last week, in 1 week, 69,000 lives. That's worldwide. And by the way, for the U.S., we can all chant and celebrate, we're number one, we're number one, we're number one. You don't want that. The U.S. has reported the highest number of new COVID-19 cases in the world over the last 7 days. U.S. saw an increase of 131% ending July 25th compared to the previous week. The world at large saw an increase of 8%. So we have about 14 times the rate of increase of cases because we had been doing so well. Why had we been doing so well? Well, we'd been doing so well because of the vaccines. Why are we all messed up right now and moving in the wrong direction? Because we have stalled on the vaccines. So what's going to be done about it? Well, there are actually actions that are being taken by government at various levels, federal governments, city governments, and there are some big actions that are being taken by private industry that we will cover on the Michael Medved Show. And also, Andy McCarthy, the veteran prosecutor who writes so brilliantly about legal affairs, and he does, and he has just written about who he believes comes out as the big loser in the hearings yesterday, the testimony, which I found extraordinarily important, moving, substantive. Andy McCarthy agrees with me over at National Review. He has a piece that came out in The Hill where he says the big loser in what happened in the hearings was Nancy Pelosi. Why? We will get to that on the Michael Medved Show. And there's also a writer at National Review, a writer who's consistently, I think, insightful, particularly on popular culture, who has one of the great headlines of all times. The Olympics are stupid. Yes, we'll get to that one as well. There's also news about how we're doing with vaccinating our Olympic athletes. And frankly, it's pathetic. It is pathetic. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Let's go and first of all cover the idea that right now we have the highest number of new COVID-19 cases in the world. An average of around 540,000 cases were reported each day over the past week, as compared to 490,000 cases reported the week before. That's an extra 50,000 cases each day, new cases. And I mentioned that 69,000 number. That's deaths. Dead. In a week. Worldwide, it's a 21% jump. It's much higher than that in the United States. The other countries that are leading the world in terms of the COVID vaccine, the other countries in the world are Brazil, Indonesia, the United Kingdom, and India. That was the other top five of the countries with the most new cases. If these trends continue, it is expected that the cumulative number of cases reported globally will exceed 200 million in the next 2 weeks. The increase in cases is largely being fueled by the spreading Delta variant, as well as a slowdown in the U.S.'s vaccine drive. I do not understand how it is even possible that there are people in this country who can look at a slowdown in the vaccine drive and say, that's okay. That's a good thing. How is it okay? And on what level is it even conceivably okay? This is an extraordinary moment because, again, there are probably going to be people who are listening to me now, and you're welcome to call and tell me what you think is wrong here. New York City is offering a $100 incentive for vaccines starting Friday. Starting this Friday, reports NBC, New York City will pay $100 to anyone who goes to a city-run vaccination site for their first dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. The announcement comes just days after the mayor said all city workers would have to be vaccinated or go through strict weekly testing protocols. It also comes amid a surge in cases in the city, driven by the explosion of the Delta variant. Last Friday, the rolling average of new cases daily was 32% higher than a week before. And what's crazy about this is if you're one of those people, you're a good citizen, smart person, you got the vaccine 3, 4, 5 months ago, you don't get the $100? Look, I think that at this point, when you look around the city and you look around every city and the need to reestablish mask mandates, which, of course, is wildly controversial, what I don't understand from people is, given these numbers and the U.S. now leading the world, what is it you want our leaders to do? Google, which is a very big employer, is now requiring that anybody who wants to work on that campus and come in and actually work in person, you got to be vaccinated. And really, it's incredible. I feel sorry for Simone Biles. I'm sorry she withdrew from the Olympics. I think she's a great athlete. She seems to be a great person. But you know what? What possible excuse could there be to bring people to the Olympic Games in Tokyo? And the U.S. is almost last among major teams of the top 15 teams in terms of the number of athletes they bring. We're almost last in the percentage of people who are vaccinated. Only 85% of U.S. Olympic athletes are vaccinated. What is wrong with us? I don't fully understand it. I will get to your calls as soon as we come back. 1-800-955-1776. There's also a possibility that all federal workers, President Biden has said, are going to be required, if they're going to be coming into the workplace, required to get a vaccine. Is something wrong about that? If you think so, you'll have a chance to express it. We will be speaking to Andy McCarthy about yesterday's hearings that were so powerful and riveting, with the cops talking about their experience on January 6th. What happened about Back the Blue? Shouldn't that be our policy? We will be right back on The Medved Show.
This is going to be a little bit provocative.
The Michael Medved Show.
On the Michael Medved show, I mentioned that the U.S. is number one, unfortunately number one in new COVID cases this past week, the week ending today. There's also this in terms of competition among nations. After euphoria in major Western economies, as vaccinations spread and cities reopened, July delivered a reality check. As contagious new strains spread, we were reminded once again that the road to recovery won't be smooth. Norway now leads a pack of European nations that have leaped ahead in Bloomberg's COVID resilience ranking, a monthly snapshot that tracks 53 economies' performance in COVID and containment, quality of health care, vaccination coverage, overall mortality, and, as of last month, progress toward restarting travel and easing border curbs. The U.S.'s reign as the number one on the ranking in June was short-lived. Its vaccination drive has plateaued, and cases fueled by the Delta variant surged again in July, triggering renewed restrictions in some parts of the country. Let's go to Anthony in Bremerton, Washington. Anthony, you're on the Medved Show.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So one area, I don't remember exactly what it was reporting that 65% of new cases are people that have had double or two vaccinations. My question to you, seriously, and I'm trying to get this answered, as a healthy, middle-aged person who takes my vitamins, I drink lots of water, I make sure my body's alkaline, I do the things I need to do, what benefit is it to me to get a serum put into my body that is possibly going to cause another problem, as opposed to just letting my natural, healthy, amazing immune system work like it's supposed to when I have a 99.97% chance of surviving the virus?
Okay, that's if you take the vaccine. You see, this is the point, is that, yes, they have the, what they call breakthrough cases with people who have been vaccinated twice, and they still get COVID, but they don't get deeply sick from it. That's when they have. In other words, if you look at all of the numbers, the lowest number of people who are unvaccinated, who are hospitalized, is 97%. And Anthony, you say, why should you get vaccinated? My question really is not why you should get vaccinated, it's why not? This reduces your chances of getting seriously sick even more. It reduces your chances of maybe if you have an asymptomatic case of giving it to somebody else. It helps us make progress to a community-wide goal. And your chances of getting sick from the vaccine are very close to zero. And they're talking about that you have more of a risk of injury or illness getting into a car than if you get these vaccines. It is simply not true that that they are dangerous. And by the way, I think the number that you gave at the beginning, if you can send me that story, I'd love to see it, and I'll cover it on air. But I don't think there's any place where the majority of new cases is people who have had double vaccines, because we don't have a majority of people yet who have double vaccines. Let's go to Yehuda in New York City. Yehuda, you're on the Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. I hope that you and your family are doing well. As someone who's fully vaccinated, under 40, and recovered from COVID, I'm a big fan of the vaccines. But as I was telling your call screener, when former President Trump announced Operation Warp Speed, that we're going to have a vaccine at the end of the year, prominent voices like President Biden, Vice President Harris were all skeptical. And then you had my home state, Governor Andrew Cuomo, said he's going to have a scientific commission to study the vaccine. And now these same voices are yelling at everyone to get the vaccine. I agree, everyone should get the vaccine, you know, who's over 12. But I believe you need a bipartisan representation to come out and push out the vaccine and insist that people get the vaccine.
Amen. You're completely correct. I agree with you 100%. Let me share with you a letter that appeared in the editor to the New York Times today. It's from a guy named Robert Gordon in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it's a brilliant letter, and I think you'll like it. He says the vaccination campaign now must target Trump supporters and black Americans. Imagine this. Donald Trump and Barack Obama together in a 30-second ad. Obama, we don't agree on much. Trump, we hardly agree on anything. But we do agree on one thing. You should get the COVID vaccine right now. Obama, I couldn't agree more. Handshake. And then Robert Gordon says, why this should be a pipe dream rather than the most effective public service announcement imaginable is what is so sad. It just takes two grown men to agree to do it. Now, I hope that somebody who knows President Trump or can reach President Trump and somebody who knows President Obama and can reach President Obama, they shouldn't wait for any initiative by the Biden administration. Just do it. Don't you think that would be effective, Yuta?
I'm a big fan of that. I think it would be amazing.
Yeah, and it would also make the country feel like we were all in this together, that not everything was partisan. And
less polarization,
amen, and you're entirely correct. By the way, it would also be very presidential and very appropriate for President O'Biden to go back and said, I shouldn't have said those things. I didn't give President Trump enough credit. And you know what? Trump would lap it up. It might be able to encourage him to do this ad together with Barack Obama, which would get a great deal of attention. Appreciate your call always. The entire argument here that we had from our first caller from Bremerton is, well, I don't really need the vaccine. Okay, that's true for many people, and I understand that. And your chances of getting COVID and dying from it or getting deeply sick from it are probably very low right now, except they're going up, and we're going in the wrong direction. And taking the vaccine, it really doesn't hurt. And you are not increasing your risks at all. All of the claims that somehow getting vaccines are going to increase your risks and make things worse for you. Let me ask you this. For anyone who believes that, why would it be that the correlation between states with a low COVID rate and a high vaccine rate are very, very close? And the states, virtually all the states that have the leading COVID new cases rate right now, nearly all of them are states with very low vaccine rates. In other words, if the vaccine rates, if the vaccines supposedly don't work, how could it be that they would be so overwhelmingly successful in the data in terms of reducing in certain places and communities and states the rate of infection? Speaking of rate of infection, we had a political circus yesterday, or was it something more and deeper than that? The first hearings in the investigation of January 6th. We'll talk about that and who was the big loser with Andy McCarthy coming up. Michael Medved Show. I always look forward to having Andy McCarthy on the air. He's a former chief assistant U.S. attorney who's devoted his life to prosecuting bad guys, including mass murdering terrorists. He is also a best-selling author. He's a contributing editor at National Review, and he wrote a phenomenal new piece that is so right on so many different things that appeared in The Hill. And we've posted it at our website at michaelmedved.com. I hope everyone reads it. The headline is "Officer's Powerful Capitol Riot Testimony Underscores Pelosi's Partisan Blunder." And what you say in the piece, you say Pelosi emerges as the big loser after the committee's first hearing on Tuesday. Now, you got to explain that, because what you're not saying that Pelosi has responsibility for what happened on January 6th. What you're saying is she blew it from being a chance for national healing and unity by allowing it to be a bipartisan moment to making it into a partisan moment. How did she do that?
Well, Michael, I appreciate the kind words, and I think what you're saying is exactly what I was trying to drive across. I think that this was a moment where she should have done everything it was in her power to do to draw more attention to the testimony of these police officers and the work of this commission. And instead, by a calculation I can't really fathom, she took an aggressive partisan step in booting the people that McCarthy wanted on the committee because they're Trump supporters, and thereby gave the Republicans the opportunity they were looking for, because Trump-supporting Republicans obviously don't want this committee to do its work at all. But she gave them exactly the excuse they were looking for to pull out altogether, pull out support, label the committee as a partisan stunt. And my take on this, and I say this as somebody who, used to try cases for a living, you want a situation where you draw people's attention into the fact-finding process. And if what you think you have on your side is the truth, then you not only don't worry about who's on the other side who might challenge the truth, it's actually probably good for you to have, like, the Jim Jordans and Jim Bankses daring, if they would, to question these officers. So I just think this was a real opportunity for her to have the whole country, including the persuadables, have a look at what really happened on January 6th, and instead she drove, I don't want to say half the country away, but she drove a goodly chunk away.
Yeah, but it's also, that's not an excuse, I know it isn't in your mind, for people to impugn the integrity of these officers who actually put their bodies and survived serious injuries. They put their bodies between murderous, extremely scum-of-the-earth individuals and our elected representatives, Republicans and Democrats. And frankly, do you really think that if Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, two savvy, very hard-driving conservatives, if they had been there, they would want to defend the demonstrators in any way, or in any way try to undermine the heroic police officers who testified?
Well, I think that they would have felt pressure from President Trump to act as Trump's lawyers in the proceeding, but because of the savviness that you just alluded to, you know, I've been in a lot of trials with a lot of savvy defense lawyers. When a witness is a compelling witness whose testimony is powerful and unimpeachable, the last thing you do is go into, attack cross-examination mode. What you try to do is get a few concessions out of the witness that you think will help your case, but otherwise try to convince the jury that you don't have any problem with this witness or this witness's account. And I think if Jordan and Banks had been there, that's probably what they would have done, and it would have been a very powerful signal that for all the rhetoric that we've heard from the Trump camp about January 6th, when the country got to see the people who were in Trump's camp have a chance to question the people who actually know what happened there and went through it, they were anything but attack dogs in dealing with them. I think that would have been a powerful image.
I can't help but think that Pelosi, or at least the people around her, recognized they made a gigantic mistake, and I think they did, because it gives a partisan cast to a hearing when the Republicans that the Republican leadership chose are not allowed to participate. What do you think would happen, and what should Kevin McCarthy do If Nancy Pelosi, because they're not going to be opening up these hearings again for another couple of weeks, that's in cessation right now. If Pelosi came back and said, all right, I've reconsidered this, and I've talked to my caucus, to my conference, and we are going to invite Congressman Banks and Congressman Jordan to participate in the hearing. Should they join the hearings at that point? I think they should.
I do, too. I always think that you should give people a chance to do the right thing. And then, you know, if it turns out that they try to turn it into a circus. The thing I don't understand, Michael, about the way Washington works is I always thought, as a prosecutor, if I had a strong case, I always thought it was to my advantage that the other side tried to turn it into a circus, because you don't do that when you actually have a rebuttal. So I don't know why they're so worried about people coming in and, you know, demagoguing and carrying on, because it becomes pretty clear that they don't have anything at a certain point. But leaving that aside, I think give them a chance to do the right thing. You know, we made a mistake. Let's reconsider. And I would, even if I were Pelosi, I would go so far as to say, we not only want you in, if you want us to call back the police officers, we'll bring them back for more testimony if you'd like.
I think that's exactly the right idea, and it's an approach that would help the country, because ultimately there was an attempt by the 4Gs, as they are referred to, which is Matt Gaetz and Dorothy Taylor Greene and Louis Gohmert and Paul Gosar, to basically say that the people who were being prosecuted needed defense, that these were political prisoners. You know, they basically have gotten nowhere with this. And you're not going to hear that from Jordan and Banks.
No, I think that it's a worthy inquiry to ask why the number of people who are still in custody prior to trial are in custody. But I think a lot of those people belong in custody. If you assaulted a police officer or caused damage to the Capitol to get into the building, then that's a pretty classic case of detaining people before trial because they're dangerous to the community. On the other hand, if you were loitering through the Capitol, and there's a case that came out of the D.C. Circuit last week involving two people who kind of got there after the people had forced their way in. They stayed for about 12 minutes, wandered out, didn't do anything violent, and they're still detained prior to trial. I think, you know, those are the kind of cases that no one says they're innocent, but, you know, they should get bail. Most people should get bail.
Who would you issue subpoenas to for the hearings coming up?
Well, I think that the point that has been made by Liz Cheney, among others, that the real gap in our knowledge is minute by minute what was going on in the White House while this was all happening. That's the real knowledge gap. I mean, we're going to find out what went on with all the rioters because of the criminal cases, and the Senate's already done a big investigation on the security lapses, but the big hole in our knowledge is what was going on in the White House, so that turned my attention.
I think I can guess where that goes. So where do we go next on the continued COVID debate? Coming up. Is it an accident, or is it some kind of malevolent decision that media, including, by the way, conservative media, have gone from describing people as vaccine hesitant to vaccine resistant? There's a new poll that casts some information about that. Let me go first to RJ in Tacoma, Washington. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Good afternoon, Michael. The first thing I'd like to say is I'd like to ask the Democrat Party to release all their political prisoners and give them a court date in a real court. Two, you were talking about the police officers of Capital City Police that were making their statements, and that's wonderful, except the only problem I have with that is the only verified crime that I've seen so far in this is the Capitol Police murdering an unarmed woman for trespassing. So,
RJ,
yep.
Do you think it should be a crime if you try to gouge out the eye of a person who is doing his duty as a police officer? There are 140 uniformed officers who had to go to the hospital because of the struggles they went through, like such as those guys described. Do you think that's a crime?
I'm not sure because I wasn't...
What do you mean you're not sure? How can a conservative or an American or a thinking human being not be sure that attacking a police officer, that causing him injury and pain, that causing them some serious consequences? One of the guys who was up there yesterday has had a series of surgeries that were necessary because of being squashed and battered and beaten by the mob. How is that not a crime?
Well, you know, Michael, it's a miracle that for the first time we found some police officers the Democrats like. I find that very fascinating.
Okay,
that
I agree, and we made that point yesterday, that this is one of the things that happened here by the Republicans not being there was that, other than Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, who did represent, I think, the Republican Party honorably. One of the things that the Democrats achieved was they could all of a sudden, instead of attacking and attacking and attacking police, as they do rhetorically, could actually defend and praise and honor our police officers, which ought to be the position you're in too, RJ. I appreciate it, but stating that the only crime that was committed on January 6th was the shooting of... Ashley Babbitt? I mean, I'm sorry, that's pathetic. And the officer who did shoot at her, to suggest that he should be tried or prosecuted for killing an innocent person as she was planning to actually push her way through the glass into the House chamber itself, where there were still members present at a time when people were basically chanting to kill Mike Pence, to hang Mike Pence, really? Okay, concerning the pandemic, there's a very worrisome poll that I guess it's a major poll that was done by Axios Ipsos, the coronavirus index. And they say that 7 out of 10 Americans say they've taken at least one vaccine now. The group they tried to understand was the remaining 30%. Just under 1/4 of the unvaccinated say they're very or somewhat likely to take the shots, but haven't yet done so. So that means that you got a bunch of people, because what you're talking about here is... at least 10 million people who haven't taken the vaccines, but they're likely to do it. They think they're likely to do it. About the same share said they're not at all likely to do it, but they haven't ruled it out. The rest, a little more than half of the unvaccinated respondents, in other words, 15% of Americans, say they are not likely at all or absolutely have ruled out getting vaccinated. And what's interesting here is that among the people who say they will never get vaccinated, they're overwhelmingly white. About half of the people in the most persuadable group are black or Hispanic. So the effort to target people has to be a little bit complex and has to aim at different targets and different groups. There's also... There's this, when you talk about some of the people who are overwhelmingly white who won't get vaccinated and are now increasingly saying they won't cooperate with masking mandates at all. A Tennessee pastor plans to buck any guidance on mask wearing, telling his congregation during Sunday sermon, this last Sunday, that he will ban those who wear masks. Pastor Greg Locke of Global Vision Baptist Church in Mount Juliet blasted COVID-19 as Democrat games. and called the Delta variant, which has led a new surge of the virus in every state, total nonsense. If they go through round two, this is a quote, and you start showing up with all these masks and other nonsense, I will ask you to leave the church. That's what he said, according to the Daily Mail. Locke has been a reverent supporter of conspiracy theories, including the idea that QAnon would put an end to a non-existent child sex trafficking ring. I don't need to be a jerk for Jesus, he said, but I'm not going to kowtow down to a wicked, godless culture. Okay, just think about this for a moment. And I get it that I can understand why people would resist the idea of requiring a mask. But what sense, on what universe is it a good idea to ban a mask? If somebody wants to wear a mask, if he or she feels safer, if he or she feels this is a good idea for their personal health, what right do you have as a pastor? What reason could you possibly have as a pastor to say you can't come into church? I mean, if somebody's agitating, if somebody's nagging other people or bothering other people, you got to put on a mask. You're like, okay, got it. But if someone comes in quietly wearing a mask, if someone comes in next to you at work, if someone comes into you at a movie screening wearing a mask, I was wearing one last night. I went to a screening for a film that you'll be interested in hearing about later in the week. But the idea that you not only want to avoid masking and vaccinating for yourself, but that you believe it's a negative thing for other people, that's really sad. There's also this. An anti-vaxxer has threatened Dr. Fauci and is facing some serious charges. He threatened to, among other things, break every bone in his disgusting elf skull. That's an interesting description. And sew his scalp onto a big rat, while warning that the famed public health researcher would soon be, quote, hunted, tortured, beaten, and enslaved. I didn't think slavery was that popular anymore, or enslavement. There's a criminal complaint that was filed yesterday in Maryland federal court. Thomas Patrick Conley Jr., who's 56, now faces charges of making threats against a federal official and interstate communications containing a threat to harm, both of which are felonies. Again, you wonder about this. If you send this, you write this down, and you send these messages, what do you think is going to happen to you? I mean, Dr. Fauci is a federal official. It's like those crazy people, and there were some of them, who emailed in or messaged in threats to President Trump. Well, what do you think is going to happen to you when you threaten the president? And not that Dr. Fauci is comparable to the president, but the idea that you are somehow helping a noble cause here to threaten to hunt, torture, beat, and enslave. If you did enslave Dr. Fauci, what would you have him do? Exactly. He's kind of up there in age. I think he's close to 80 now. I think 78. We will get to understanding the unvaccinated. We will also get to a column that is explosively controversial that says that the Olympics are stupid. And there was an election yesterday with a very surprising outcome. Some commentators are reading into that election in Texas more than maybe it deserves. But we will get to it and let you hear some of the victory speech from the guy who won, a conservative Republican. We'll get to that and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.